and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House is condemning a deadly Russian missile attack in Ukraine. President Zelensky through an interpreter.
One of the buildings of the Institute of Communications was partially destroyed. People were trapped under the rubble. Many of them were rescued.
Over 50 were killed in the attack, one of the deadliest strikes by Russian forces since the war began. Two U.S. Marines were attacked in Turkey. Here's CBS's Holly Williams.
Video of the incident shows a group of men forcing a bag over the head of one of the Marines as they restrain him and chanting, "Yankee, go home."
The two Americans are okay. 15 arrests have been made. Out on the picket line now with hotel workers across the country on strike. Stephen Hufada is in Honolulu.
We're not asking for anything that we believe that they can't handle. We're just asking that we are valued for what we deserve. And we're just asking them to make sure that they can compensate us correctly.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Talk of separating the University of Wisconsin in Madison from the rest of the UW system is sounding more serious. A legislative study committee on the future of Wisconsin State Universities talked about it Friday. Some committee members say the UW-Madison has needs and challenges that no other UW schools have. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz telling a Labor Day crowd of supporters in Milwaukee that Kamala Harris is part of the most pro-union administration in American history.
From sticking up for workers to voting for fair legislation to walking picket lines, she was there with workers every step of the way.
President Biden comes to Westby on Thursday and Donald Trump travels to Mosinee on Saturday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, September 4th. In Wood County, the Village of Buren will hold their Finance and Budget Committee meeting at 7:30 a.m. at the Buren Municipal Center. The Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Courthouse in Room 114. In Portage County, the Public Library Board meeting will happen at 4:30 at the Library in the Pinery Room. The Portage County Board Meeting Committee of the Whole will meet at 5 at the Courthouse in the County Board Chambers. In Adams County, the Board of Adjustment will meet from 10:30 to 12:30 at the Adams County Community Center. The Housing Authority will meet from 2:30 to 3:30 at 350 East Liberty Street in Adams. Today is the first day of school in many districts. Be sure to watch out for school buses and kids on your way home. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Milwaukee's leading the pack. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers have a 10-game lead in the division after Labor Day thanks to a 9-3 win over the Cardinals yesterday. Jackson Chourio hit a grand slam to help Milwaukee get the victory. The Brewers and Cardinals play Game 2 of their series tonight. The NFL season kicks off on Thursday with the Chiefs and Ravens. On Friday, the Green Bay Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. It's the first time that an NFL game will be played in that country. Wide receiver Christian Watson said he's not sure what to expect out of the trip.
Just to be locked in, dialed in. The number one message this week has been the details. If we focus in on the fundamentals and the details and, we go out there, we're going to be able to execute. You know, we know we got the players to do everything and accomplish everything that we need to. We handle the details and just, let everything else fall in place.
Kickoff between the Packers and Eagles will be after 7 p.m. Friday night. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media Thursday and Friday. And with sports, I'm Jimmy Cusca.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Tons of sunshine today with high temperatures climbing to the mid-70s. And tonight, as we stay clear, we fall crisp to the low 50s. We get a little warmer tomorrow to the upper 70s under sunny skies before showers and maybe some storms hit on Thursday and Friday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin battles the Coyotes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us on a hump day edition. Next time, Pat Kreitel of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, plus your phone calls. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. With me, as always, is my amazing producer, Brian Kelly. Hope you all had a great Labor Day weekend. I know I enjoyed three full days off, Brian.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm fighting something, too.
Oh, no, that's the worst. Sometimes you need a vacation from your off days, if you know what I'm saying.
I play hard, friends. I play hard.
That's work hard, play hard. That's the one, the rules to live by, everybody. And it is back to school for the vast majority of the state. Brian, you were taking your beautiful daughter, Darby, who's 12, I believe. You were taking her
old.
To school today.
Yeah, we sent her off. The girl behind us also is going now for the first time. Her previous school went up to 6th, and now she's joining. So she has a buddy for the bus in the morning, which is nice, even though she could probably walk to school. But she still buses, so all right.
That's nice to have. When I went to grade school, I was walkable distance. So I would walk to St. Pius X Catholic Grade School on 76th and Center, often with a couple of the friends from the neighborhood that we would join up along the route, right? Eventually got to the bike riding. But when I went to King, Rufus King, on 19th and Capitol, I was taking the city bus. And that took some planning. That required getting up real early. Because first bell used to be at 7:10 in the morning. I mean, it was rough.
So picture this. My buddy has twins. 16-year-old twins. You just met them. They go to the same high school that Michelle Obama used to go to in right down the street from the DNC at Whitney Young, which is a far, far way for them to go. But they sometimes take the blue line every morning, the Chicago blue line, which they can walk to from their house. But they go and take a good 45-minute to an hour train ride down and back for their schooling. Imagine, you know, Chicago public schools. It's great that you have public transit, and it's great that the two of them can do that on their own. They didn't do that for the entirety of their schooling, of course. But, you know, also my buddy has to go and drive them down for swim practice, which you want to talk about getting up early in the morning. They have to be there at 5:45. So, boy.
Yeah, that is a lot. Of course, with sports and everything, I was lucky enough to have parents that would pick me up usually after practice, because that made for a hell of a long, long day, as it sounds like it does for your friends' kids as well. Listen, I hope everybody is back to school. First business day of September is starting off well for you. We have beautiful weather across most of Wisconsin. You can always catch news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour, every hour, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But Brian, I wanted to ask, how was your Labor Day? How did you spend your day off celebrating? Were you celebrating those that labor?
Yes, in that I was the one laboring and now not. we went to Oak Creek Lions Fest, which usually ends up happening over Labor Day weekend, and watching cover bands that are really awesome, and watching kids scream and yell and run around in a small enough area that you can contain them, but fun enough that we can all have a great time. And I had my sister with her. She's got a first grader and a kindergartner. So that was... There was never a second where we could stop for any moment, because all of the seconds have to be filled with something to do at all times from morning, noon, night. They're active, course, yeah. Wonderful kids. But every now and then I did get a flying crotch shot, which is very important to continue with. And then eventually I did get both of our dogs. They brought their dog with them. Both of them got stung by bees, and I got stung by bees four times in defense of those dogs. So that was fun. We had Benadryl in the dogs. And they napped, and I did not get Benadryl, but I'm still itchy.
So there was Benadryl. Was there any beer and brats?
Oh, there were beer. Lots of beer.
Benadryl, beer. Was there any baseball listening? I mean, there's always the three B's of every weekend.
I did watch a lot of baseball, and the Cubs had a really good they've been doing really well. And Willy Adames hit 5 home runs in a row. That's pretty awesome. You know, that's...
Apparently, yeah. So if you've been following the Brewers, again, they have been doing... just exceptionally well. I'm going to knock on some wood here. They logged a huge win against St. Louis yesterday. That was a big 9-3 victory. They got St. Louis again this evening. That game time first pitch at 6:40. Folks, you can catch it on the usual Civic Media outlets. But Willy Adames, I think he either has the record or he's close to the record for greatest number of 3-run home runs by any shortstop, yep. Or so he's tied. Okay.
That's pretty amazing. And it's really good because I have him on my fantasy baseball team, and that helps me out because I made it into the playoffs. Whew.
Well, there you go. I have tried the fantasy baseball a few times, Brian. 2 years in a row I tried. I do not have the time every day.
It's an everyday thing. In the morning, you gotta check it. You kinda have to know everybody's bullpen if you're gonna be good at it.
I thought I was a baseball nerd. Then I joined a fantasy league and I was like, I am not a baseball nerd. There are people that spend far more time than I do.
For your baseball nerds out there, we have some, I just got some breaking news right now. We have six tickets to give away for tomorrow's Cardinals game. 6:40
first
pitch. So if you can go, give us a call.
Yeah. Brian and I, listen, between now and the end of the show at 4 o'clock, we will come up with three incredible Brewers trivia questions. I've given a couple of stumpers, and I don't want anybody getting stumped. We'll give away three pairs of two tickets apiece to tomorrow, not tonight. Tomorrow, Wednesday's St. Louis Milwaukee game.
6:40
at AmFam Field. So keep your ears open. Ryan, should we do a pair of tickets right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
I love that. Now let me go through my Rolodex of random Brewers factoids. And here it is. Your easy Brewers trivia. For a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Brewers St. Louis Cardinals, the dreaded Cardinals game at 6:40 at AmFam Field, the first caller with the correct answer at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We'll get a pair of tickets in the beautiful club level to the Brewers St. Louis game tomorrow. Here is your trivia question. What year did the Brewers go to their first World Series? This is a gimme. This is pretty easy, everybody. What year did the Brewers go to their first World Series? That is your trivia question to win. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Nothing better than starting out with giving away a couple of tickets. I love that. If you want to call up and get those tickets, say hi to Fancy Brian. If you aren't lucky enough to get them this segment, keep listening. We're going to give away two more sets of tickets before the show is out. And folks, do we have a welcome back to work and school show for you today? So excited. We got Ben Weston. He's going to be joining the show in short order here. That is Dr. Ben Weston. He is the medical policy advisor to Milwaukee County. I'm going to give you folks an update on West Nile, talk about a couple of things, because we've had some indications that West Nile is percolating here in Wisconsin. We got Dr. Ben Weston. We have Chef Adam Pavlock is going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour for the first of what will be a weekly segment of Yes, Chef. I cannot wait to talk to Adam about food and all of the wonderful things that make up Wisconsin's restaurant and culinary scene. At 3 p.m., of course, it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Today, we've got Saru Jayaraman, the president and co-founder of One Fair Wage, a national organization, campaign, and coalition fighting for a full and fair minimum wage. You're not going to want to miss that. And at 3:30, we have Assembly candidate Kristen Alfheim. She's going to be joining us. Such a busy lineup. You're not going to want to miss 1 minute of it, folks. All coming up this hour on The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. My producer is Brian Kelly. If you call up 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, be sure that you say hello to Brian as we try to give away this first set of Brewers tickets. And I'm going to check in with Brian to see if we have already done that. Have we given them away?
We have. Congratulations.
Who is our big winner this
congratulations,
afternoon?
Congratulations, Dana. Dana, congratulations. You have won, knowing that the answer was 1982.
Yeah, the famous 82 Brewers, of course, went to the World Series. I was 5. You all can do the math. And boy, was that a heartbreaker. I remember my dad being very disappointed. That also, I think it was 83 where we got the free burgers at George Webb's. All good things. We're going to take care of some business. Take a couple of quick messages coming up here. And then Dr. Ben Weston is going to be joining us. And we're going to check in on what's going on with the West Nile virus here in Wisconsin. We're just getting Ben set up to join us. I was a little shocked personally when I read about the fact that there have been not one, but two West Nile deaths here in Wisconsin most recently. And I believe, do we have Ben here on the line? We're going to bring him on the phone. Hello, Dr. Weston. This is Maggie. Is that you?
This is me. How are you doing?
It's wonderful. We got Dr. Weston. We got to take care of some quick messages. We're going to come back with Dr. Weston. We're going to talk a little bit about West Nile, where you can find out more information. We're also going to talk a little bit about vaccinations for going back to school. So very important. Keep it locked, everybody. We're going to give away more tickets. We got a loaded lineup for you coming back to work and school on this beautiful Tuesday, September 3rd, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Keep it locked.
Just a bit outside.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear?
The answer is coming up. The original Badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to work and school, everybody. It would only be appropriate to get some back-to-school health pointers from Milwaukee County's health policy advisor, Dr. Ben Weston. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Ben. Great to have you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be here as always.
So lots of kids going back to school today, Dr. Weston, and we were reading and discussing last week on the show the fact that Wisconsin's vaccine exemption rate has gone up precipitously in the last few years. How important is it for parents to get their young ones vaccinated?
Can you hear me here, Maggie?
Yeah, I sure can, Ben. You're good to go.
Sorry, I just switched over from phone to video, but it's critical to get kids vaccinated. This, like any vaccine, this is the easiest, this is the safest way to gain immunity against diseases that, frankly, are not benign. There's a reason that we've put millions and millions of dollars into creating these vaccines over decades. It's because this isn't the common cold. This isn't minor sort of illness. We're talking about things that can cause paralysis, things that can cause swelling and inflammation of the brain, diseases that can kill kids. And so even though we think of them as really rare now, there's a reason they're really rare. They didn't used to be really rare. And that reason, of course, is vaccines. So that's why it's important to get your child vaccinated. Most kids are back to school as of today, if not last week or the week before. But it's not too late. Make sure your kids are vaccinated going into the school year.
For people that are may not be as familiar as you are with the process of vaccine development and what the base sort of there are component parts. Oftentimes, those that work in immunology are taking the basic component parts of a vaccine and then adding the things that need to be added for particular viral infections and things. Tell people, why are vaccines so reliable? How much testing is done on these things?
Yeah, listen, vaccines are going through the same sort of testing, the same sort of authorization approval by the FDA as the other medicines that you're taking. And so you wake up in the morning, you take your blood pressure medicine, you take your diabetes medicine, you take your cholesterol medication, you take Tylenol or ibuprofen for your headache, all these medications that you take and you don't think anything about have side effects. And I'll tell you, most of the medications that you have in your medicine cabinet have side effects that are far more severe than any side effect you're going to get from a vaccine. One of the most deadly medications out there that causes more deaths than many others, believe it or not, is Tylenol, a medicine that we take for granted. We take all the time. I take for headaches or whatever else. But these are medications that are rigorously tested. They go through all sorts of trials, thousands of people to understand what sort of side effects that we see. And it's the same sort of thing with vaccinations. And when we talk about childhood vaccinations, Maggie, in particular, there's say what you want about COVID vaccines. You know, my stance is folks should get vaccinated, and especially with the new updated COVID vaccine. We can talk the nuances there, but these are not, these childhood vaccines are not a couple years old. Yeah. We're talking vaccines that are 30, 40, 50 years old that have been around for that long that, yeah, you know, grandparents took when they were kids. These are proven vaccines that have been around forever. And we know what they do, not just short term. We know what they do long term. They're safe. They're effective, no matter what sort of misinformation or disinformation we're seeing out there.
That's Dr. Ben Weston, Milwaukee County's health policy advisor, joining us this segment. You mentioned the new COVID booster. I have noticed that COVID infections, COVID positive testing going up now, generally because the booster from last year is starting to, its effectiveness is wearing off. What are the new strains? What is the COVID booster? Is it helpful? Should people be getting it? All those things.
We got an alphabet soup of strains, but I think what's important to know is that the updated COVID vaccine, and there's three of them. There's Moderna, there's Pfizer, and there's Novavax. It doesn't matter too much. Just pick one. They're all effective. If you are concerned about the mRNA vaccines, you can choose Novavax. Otherwise, Pfizer and Moderna are excellent choices. But what they do is they target the more updated strains of the virus. And so, you know, if you got the vaccine a year ago, or if you got it 2 years ago, or if you got it 3 years ago, or if you've never gotten it at all, getting this updated vaccine is important, just like getting the flu shot is important each year. And we've seen, certainly we are in a different period of COVID than we were in the past. And we can be very thankful for that. It's because of vaccines. It's because of infection. People have built up immunity. It's because of the antivirals we have. It's because we've learned a lot about it. There's a lot of reasons why we're in a different place. But I'll tell you, a population that isn't in a terribly different place is 65 and older. We're still seeing a lot of hospitalizations among those folks. Their hospitalization trends have gone down, but not that much. When you look at younger age groups, it's bottomed out. There's not many people getting hospitalized. Certainly a lot getting sick and missing work time and feeling crummy, but not many getting hospitalized. But for that older age group, it has continued. So if we want to focus on one group, it is that, it's 65 and older. So reach out, family, friends, neighbors, talk to your 65 and older folks in your life, or maybe you're one of those people out there, and get this updated vaccine. Make sure you are protected, because the last thing you want is to get sick, potentially get hospitalized, or even worse.
And am I correct that the booster can and likely is available at your local Walgreens or CVS? You can book appointments. Generally, it will be paid for, so you should be checking that out, folks. That's Ben Weston, Dr. Ben Weston, Milwaukee County's health policy advisor. Before we leave you, I wanted to ask you, Dr. Ben, about the West Nile virus. We've had three confirmed cases in Wisconsin, two deaths, the three cases coming out of Outagamie, Fond du Lac, and Brown counties. What are the symptoms of West Nile, and when should people sort of go to the hospital or seek additional medical help? What are those key symptoms?
Yeah, so we do see West Nile in Wisconsin every year. Certainly seeing deaths from it is not a good thing. It always feels alarming. It's usually this time of year, August to September is when we see it. It's spread by mosquitoes. It's not spread human to human. This isn't a human transmissible disease. But what it looks like, usually it looks like not much. Most people have mild flu-like symptoms, if they even have symptoms at all. Only about 20% of people even get symptoms from it. And it feels like a cold, and you probably don't even know that you have it. But the problem is that about a half to 1%, about one out of 150 people, have serious or even fatal illness from West Nile virus. And as you might guess, these are immunocompromised folks, mostly people in older age groups. There is no vaccine for this. So
if you start to feel worse fast, go see your doctor. I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there. That's Dr. Ben Weston, Milwaukee County's health policy advisor. Why don't we check back in a couple of weeks, Dr. Ben? I'll send you some time so we can have a longer chit-chat.
Sounds
folks,
good.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yes, Jeff! Our inaugural episode is up next. Don't go anywhere.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday. Everag joins us next with an explanation on why dairy producers have seen price support in the last few weeks.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
The Class 3 milk and cheese prices have seen fireworks in the past couple of weeks. Everag's Vice President of Producer Services, Ryan Yonkman, says this is due to bullish buying events. Among other things, he says demand hasn't necessarily been great this year, but it has been better than expected.
I think there was a lot of expectations around poor demand, and I'd say a lot of poor demand ended up being okay demand. And you're doing that on the backside of what was really record exports through Q2, when we can all remember milk was not $23, but it was more like $15. So that time there definitely helped us clear some product and cleared it into a market where I think milk continues to surprise the industry, not only domestically but globally, and that U.S. milk production remains negative and likely to stay there for a while.
Ryan Yonkman is the Vice President of Producer Services with Everag. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
All right, team, pay attention to this game film about Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. See here? When dairy farms grow Plenish soybeans for their cows,
they have lower overall feed costs.
Good eye, Jake.
And they maximize milk fat production,
so they increase the return on their investment.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. For lower feed costs and higher milk fat and dairy cows, what do we plant?
Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
Learn more at pioneer.com/happycows.
The State Department of Health Services has confirmed that two Wisconsinites have died and another was hospitalized because of the West Nile virus. The first three human cases of West Nile virus in Wisconsin were in residents of Outagamie, Fond du Lac, and Brown counties. The best way to protect yourself is to prevent mosquito bites, according to the department. Mosquito activity and the risk of infection of West Nile virus will continue into the fall until there's a hard frost. A hard frost is when temperatures fall below 28 degrees for at least 4 hours. Until then, wear bug spray and make sure to get rid of any standing water lying around your house. Mosquitoes only need a bottle cap full of water to lay hundreds of eggs. We have a full tip sheet at MidwestFarmReport.com. That's a look at your agribusiness news on a Tuesday. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Tons of sunshine today with high temperatures climbing to the mid-70s. And tonight, as we stay clear, we fall crisp to the low 50s. We get a little warmer tomorrow to the upper 70s under sunny skies before showers and maybe some storms hit on Thursday and Friday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. Everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and AgriFab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, Mandela Barnes with an update on how Wisconsinites can sign up now for big rebates that'll improve their homes and lower their utility bills.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I might not have a roller coaster of love for you. Maybe it's my love of food, but we've got a roller coaster of great discussions about food and cuisine and everything that happens that is fun in Wisconsin. And we're going to be doing it every Tuesday here on the Maggie Dawn Show at 2:30. So set your alarms, folks. Tuesday at 2:30, we're going to be doing a segment called Yes, Chef. And it wouldn't be Yes, Chef if there wasn't a chef. So I'm so happy to be joined by Adam Pavlak, head chef, executive chef at Egg and Flour out of Bayview in Milwaukee. Thanks so much for doing this with me, Adam. I am so pumped.
How are you doing?
Yeah, so pumped and excited to have you. So let's just start at the very beginning. You are of an Italian heritage and background, and you are making amazing pasta. Is your love of food and bringing people together through food, did that come from your family? Is that where you first got the food bug?
I would say that definitely is the start of it. You know, everyone has a background to when their childhood is, whether it's sports, music, food, whatever their parents were into or did or whatever they surrounded them with, I think transcends into their adult life. So here we are. And clearly my family loves to cook, to eat, to put on parties, holidays, and then just your, you know, Monday through Friday normal dinner. Like, hey, what are we going to do? And what are we going to do this week? And we'd sit around and figure that out. And my mom is a great, great home cook, Rosalie. Give her an early shout out. I wouldn't say chef, but I would say definitely great home cook that, you know, we had our standard like 30 rotation that everyone would pick something. And then it comes around a month later, we're doing it again, maybe more, maybe even a couple weeks we would go again. But yeah, definitely food is my love, is my passion. And it just so happens I'm able to be surrounded by it in my everyday workday.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. If you can make something that you enjoy already and make it your work and not lose the love and joy that come from doing that, that is the secret sauce there. Myself, my mom was Shirley. We had the same thing about the set of like 20 home cooked meals that would be on rotation. And what are we going to get today? Yeah. But that's where it all started, like coming together every day. My mom worked as well, but for the most part, we had home cooked meals on the table. Everybody was expected to be there. And that was really where my love of food and just being a home cook started. You have worked all over the city. You've cooked every kind of cuisine. Obviously, you're going to love some Italian cuisine. You make pasta every day. So I'm going to ask you, other than Italian, other than pasta, do you have a particular protein or cuisine or both that you really love to cook or that you find especially challenging, something that stands out to you?
Sure. So we'll just answer all your questions with Yes, Chef. That's how this segment's going to go. They're going to hear a lot about the Yes, Chef. For me, it would have to be after Italian cuisine, you know, whether it's Southern, Northern, whatever, I'm going to go into classically French trained, or I would say Americana, so something where you can take a piece of meat or protein or vegetable or grain or whatever and kind of put your own spin on it. And for me, being in Wisconsin, we have four seasons. We see four different types of vegetables rolling through, or a good time for seafood to be harvested and used and ate and stuff like that, where most people, you know, don't get that. And that's something that has definitely helped me. But I would say seasonal modern cooking is kind of my style. I like to cook for people with what they like to eat. You know, I also like to cook food that maybe they've never had before. So it's like all over the board. But I would say steaks and French cooking, Italian cooking. I really, really like Spanish and Mexican flavors, and that I would say I eat more of that food, but I definitely have a very, very big heart and big stomach for Mexican food and cuisine, which is an easy thing that I do And I love to learn about it too, as well. You know, that's the biggest thing, is like learning about the culture, learning about the food and the ingredients, and then figuring out how I can use my skills and what my knowledge and what I already know to really show off those ingredients and that, and do it the right way.
I'll start with yes, chef, because that's what it's all, that's what it's all about. I've always viewed food as a way to learn about someone, to learn about a culture, to learn about a region.
Yeah, and that, telling a story.
Yeah, absolutely. And that part of food can be really humbling. I jokingly have used this line for years now. It's like, they don't call it the Last Supper for nothing, right? Like, whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ, right? The story was about getting together to break bread with people. That is the way that human beings mark our major events. Doesn't matter where you're from on the globe, doesn't matter what century or what race or nationality, we use food to mark life's great moments. That's why I love it so much. I learn something every time I eat something new, which I find amazing. So for I hear you and I feel all of that. Now I'm going to ask a completely personally interested question, because I have been petrified, my brother, to try to make pasta at home. Like, I have a myriad kitchen gadgets of all stripes. I have two different mandolins, for crying out loud. A lot of kitchen equipment. But I have had, again, great anxiety even buying a pasta maker, right? And making my own pasta, because it's hard to get it exactly right. You can do it, you can do it badly, and everybody can do that. But to do it well, it can be a little challenging. Do you have some tips for the at-home cooks like myself about how to make a good homemade pasta?
Well, I think pasta is like the most fun thing to do at home. It takes a little bit, and you know, you have to do it right, but I think it's fun. Everyone loves pasta, and when you make fresh pasta and you get it down, most of the time you don't want to go back. You want to make that a fun thing, and it's just so much better, and there's so many different things you can do with it. But my tips for that is, if you have a KitchenAid machine, using your KitchenAid with the dough hook to make your dough ball, and then getting that pasta attachment that can either sheet out, it can sheet out the pasta and make it thin, and you can use that for ravioli or hand car or whatever. And then that attachment also kind of flips over the other side, and you can put your pasta through, and it cuts it for you. But I would definitely start with that, and then get into, you know, making raviolis, making stuffed pastas, doing things like that. But I would definitely say that KitchenAid is a great start. There's tons of pasta recipes out there, which is really nice, whether you want it more rich with more egg whites or egg yolks. Do you want more oil? Do you want salt in it? Do you want to season it with different flavors or colors and stuff like that? But I think the very basic, you know, egg yolks, all-purpose flour, a little bit of salt, and maybe a little bit of oil, that's all you need.
Yeah, it's often you got to start with the most fundamental, basic, stripped down recipe for anything. Learn on that and then figure out as you go how you like it. All right. So, Adam, my promise to you is that before we hit Thanksgiving time, maybe I'm going to even put a shorter deadline on it. Before we hit Halloween, I will have made an attempt to do pasta at home, and I will have to report back to you. I don't want to ask you to taste it, because I don't want to embarrass myself.
Not at all.
I will report back.
That's cool. Well, the thing that people need to know about the pasta as well is, let's say you make the pasta, it turns out really good, you have your pasta dough ball, and everyone's like, well, I don't have one of the machines to make it really thin and put it through or whatever. There's also a lot of shapes that you can do by just pulling the pasta dough little by little off the dough ball, and whether it's running it through your hands or on the table or putting it over a fork or making it really, really long, however you want. You don't always have to have the pasta sheeter and roll it out thick. So maybe you could even start with that. And then you take a little ball of pasta, put it between your hands and do one of these, send it off, and you do that 150, 200 times, and you have two bowls of pasta.
Yeah, and listen, I like me some gnocchi. I don't...
Exactly.
Anything that is like a rolled ball of dough of any type, I'm always going
dumpling.
To be right.
Yes.
So this brings me to my...
That might be a good start, too. That could be a really good, you know, alternative.
Yeah, the lead up to take a baby step, Maggie, with a dumpling first. Yes, chef, I shall do so. I love that idea. Well, it's funny that you mentioned the dumplings, right? I joke with my friends. There's a bunch of places that we will grab dumplings of different varieties. But I like to joke that every single culture I know of has a dumpling, has a thing that's made of dough that's stuffed with another thing, variety of sauces or sauces.
Or it's not. Yeah. You know, like the classic, like, dumpling in the chicken soup where it's kind of thinner and you can drop that into the boiling or simmering broth and it kind of comes up to the top. Who doesn't love that?
Who, and what culture doesn't have a dumpling of some sort? I have scoured. I cannot find a culture that doesn't have some kind of dumpling. It's that incredibly, incredibly universal. So I wanted to ask you a little bit, being in Wisconsin, I know you mentioned this, we have such an incredible variety of ingredients that we can draw on. Do you have a particular season that you enjoy the most from a produce standpoint?
People always are going to say, you know, fall or winter or something like that here because of the different items. But I really like mid to late summer.
Yeah.
Because I feel like those ingredients can be used as like they are fall ingredients as well. And they kind of interact with each other really well. But I mean, corn and tomatoes and zucchini and things that are like nice and light and fresh, you know, the really more light bean herbs, basil and stuff like that. It's so universal and it's more so in the type of food that I use and I cook. But when it comes to fall or it comes to winter, then you're dealing with squash and different root vegetables and things like that. It's just crazy. But if you try to use vegetables that are seasonal and that you can get at a farmer's market here or that you know that is grown in Wisconsin and you know that it is coming from a farm and it's being harvested at its essentially its peak, that is when you will turn yourself into, you know, just a cook, to a home cook, to a chef, or at least someone that appreciates and very, very knowledgeable about food, and it'll make all your food and dishes taste better.
Yeah, I was blessed enough, not only do I have a mom that cooked almost every day, but she had a garden too. So out of the box as a little kid, I remember the first time I was at a buddy's house for dinner and the mom made some canned green beans. Now I give her tons of credit. She was making food at home, but my little spoiled butt had just been eating garden green beans, which my mom would freeze. I didn't know green beans could be, you know, tiny and gray and taste like cardboard or aluminum because I had only ever eaten fresh.
Hey, that's not a bad problem.
Oh, it was a beautiful problem to have as a kid. But to your point, we have such a wealth of farmers markets in every community, in every county, in every city, village, and town in this state.
Yep.
That you can really...
And butcher shops, too. You know, butcher shops or places for seafood and stuff like that.
Now, that is the thing I'd like to talk to you about next, because I do not have butchering skill, and I'd like to talk to you about that a little bit more. My guest for this installment of Yes, Chef is Chef Adam Pavlak, chef, owner, operator of Egg and Flour. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. More with Adam when we come back.
Don't wipe your hands on your apron, Chef.
Chef.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. It's our very first, our ceremonial first pitch, if you will, of the segment called Yes, Chef, and it wouldn't be Yes, Chef without a chef. He's Adam Pavlak. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, thanks so much, Adam. There's probably nothing that I could talk about sports and food for like untold amounts of time, but probably eventually I could talk about food more because it's infinitely interesting to me. I hope everybody at home finds it interesting as well. If you have questions for Chef Adam or me or a comment, feel free to give us a call or text.
Send them through, right?
Yeah, we want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. But I wanted to ask you a question about getting some skills related to butchering things. Now, I have been around when friends of mine have been deer hunting and they've field dressed a deer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm like, I would like to know and take a class or figure out how to actually butcher not just a side of beef, but other game as well. I have gained the basic skills to break down a whole chicken. I can do that. Probably not as well as I should. But is this something I can like YouTube and learn or what's the best way to learn how to butcher things properly? Because it makes a big difference.
Definitely I would say you don't have to go with like sides of animals because I mean that's what the butchers are usually getting in into the primals and then breaking those down. But it is nice to be able to, you know, take a tenderloin and do that. Or cut that into your own steaks, or take a whole rib roast and maybe cut that into steaks or whatever it is. You brought up chicken. Poultry is like something that's a lot more difficult and it just takes more finesse. But I would definitely start if you have interest to start by watching some videos and then look out for classes, you know, whether it's a Sur La Table, whether it's a butcher shop is actually hosting it. I believe the Polish Center of Milwaukee, Joe Parajeki, does butcher shop classes where you can make sausage or learn how to cut meat. Or, you know, if you're really, really into it, maybe you can go to a butcher shop and say, hey, let me put everything on and watch you and let me get in. And who knows what they say? It depends, I guess, on their insurance company. We'll see what happens.
So the smaller and the longer in existence, the more family oriented the butcher shop, the better odds I get.
They might.
I could just see me rolling it in with my hairnet on, ready to go. Like, hey, let me at it. Let me see.
Exactly. I'll give a shout out to Ray's Butcher Shop. Where I go for my stuff.
Yeah, Ray's is amazing. I'll definitely check out the Polish Center. And my fish filleting skills are coming along slowly. That is a skill gained only by sheer repetition. I won't even get into the boning of fish. I have not done that perfectly ever. But you've run restaurants before. You've worked in lots of them. And I like to ask every chef that comes on the show this question, because it happens a lot. And that is, hey, you're a diner in a restaurant and you don't like there's a plate of food in front of you and something isn't right, or you're displeased with it. What do you want a customer in one of your restaurants to do if they don't like what they're eating? And there's two versions, right? There's like, there's a hair in my soup. That's one problem. You let the server know that's going to be corrected. But if they don't like it, or it wasn't to their taste, or they didn't, it's not really what they expected. What do you want somebody to do in that situation?
Okay, this is a huge thing, and I'm so happy that I can like get this out to the public or the people that are listening. And I want them to take this seriously because it makes all the difference. So we'll start with what not to do first, and then we'll go into what to do. So what not to do is say nothing, pay for the bill, give them a really crappy tip because you didn't like the food or whatever, but the service might have been okay. Go home, rush to the computer, and write a bad review. Okay? No one should ever do that ever again that's listening to this segment right now. Okay? Let's just erase that out of what people should be doing after dining. If you're at a restaurant, this is what we're going to do. Let's say you get, you know, a steak and it's over. Obviously, you can say, hey, this isn't to my liking. But if it's something that doesn't taste right or you don't like it, ask your server when they come over, say, hey, you don't have to apologize for not liking something either. You don't have to be like, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm sorry, but I just don't like it. It's more so like, hey, this isn't something that I thought would turn out this way, or I think there might be something wrong with the way that it was cooked or something like that. Is there any way that I could get something else on the menu? Or I could get stuff, or I can get the same thing, maybe prepared a little bit differently. See what the outcome of that. I guarantee 9 out of 10 times the restaurant is going to be more than happy to take care of you. Let them know, say, even if you want to throw it in there and say, hey, I'm not the type of person that complains, you know, or I don't want to go home and write a review. I really just want to have a great experience and enjoy what you guys are serving and who's cooking and everything, the full package. And I guarantee they will have the respect for you. They will love to hear a customer that might have a problem. You know, some kitchens, they have an off day. That doesn't mean the whole restaurant as a whole is a bad place, or that you've gone one time and it was amazing. You go the next time, it was bad. So then you're like, I'm not going again. It's like, you got to remember, people that are in the restaurant industry are human, whether it's the hostess, the server, it could be the valet guy, it could be anything, the chef, the cooks, the dishwasher. You have to just remember that it's all moving parts. It's human interaction. Nowadays, there's more robots cooking food, but I'm sure the restaurants that we're talking about, people have a bad day or people need to be on or there could be a mistake. And I guarantee we would rather make a new dish or make it to your liking right then and there while you're there than seeing that one-star review or that bad review or whatever it is. So that, I'm really glad that you opened that conversation up. But I think people should be more open about not liking something while they're in the restaurant instead of leaving and then talking about it. That doesn't help anything.
That's Chef Adam Pavlak of Egg and Flour, located in Bayview, Wisconsin. Handcrafted pasta. Incredible. I've had your food a bunch of times. I love it, Adam. And from Adam's lips to your ears, if you don't like it and you're in a restaurant, say something so they can make you happy. That's what they're in the business to do. We'll see you next week, Chef, on our next installment of Yes, Chef. I can't believe we're already out of time. Thank you so much.
I know. We have so much to talk about.
We do. And we've got every Tuesday at 2:30. Keep it locked, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie and the Millionaires is up next.
Yes, Chef. Of course, I could get a hell of a good look at a T-bone steak by sticking my head up a bull's ass, but I'd rather take the butcher's word for it.
Bull's ass.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us on a hump day edition next time. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, plus your phone calls. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS.